All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
We back. It's Centaur Views. It's your boy, No Sense.
And your girl, Victoria the God.
So we on... We dropping on a Wednesday this week. I like it.
Yeah, we try to have some type of consistency.
Well, if y'all are anything like us, y'all will forgive us for being Sagittarius. So.
Right, because you know how we do. The fact that we've been doing this for a year now is still fascinating to me because we kind of go in and out of our hobby.
For real.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it's a sad thing. I can't even apologize for it.
Right. I'm not. We here. We here. So you want to get into make sure that y'all like, share, subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. What else
Stitcher, we on? Anchor.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Centaur Views.
Yeah, and if you got an idea for a show or you want to share your thoughts in private, you can hit us up on centaurviews@gmail.com.
Right. You want to go ahead and get into it?
Let's go into 2 cents. You got 2 cents, right?
Yeah, I do. I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but I saw something on Facebook, so I was like, yeah, let me talk about this for a second. Do you want to go first? Mine's a little dark, deep.
I'll go first this time. Okay. Well, since we are recording this on the day of the verdict, Derek Colvin was guilty on all three charges, a win, but of course, you got to wait till sentencing before we really are able to, you know, celebrate. But you notice how a lot of people were saying, you know, if the verdict is wrong, they're going to riot and the family wouldn't want this and stuff like that.
Right.
If I get killed in cold blood by a white police officer, don't ever say that. I'm putting it out right now. Do not say he doesn't want this. I want this. Bring all the smoke. In fact, Walmart, GameStop, City Trends. Fuck all of them. You can trash.
It's a Walmart, GameStop, City Trends. I can't. Bruh, you are a mess.
I'm serious, man. I give you permission in my name to do that. Tear the city up. Don't mess with little pigs on Alpine. Them is some good white folks in that barbecue place. I've never been disrespected. They always treat me with respect and kindness, and the food is delicious. Don't fuck with them white folks. But yeah, Walmart, GameStop, and then City Trends, just fuck City Trends in general. But yeah, you have my, just go with the flow. Do what you feel. If it's in your heart, do it. Don't ever say that that's not what he wanted.
Yeah, okay. I'll make sure I pass that message along. Hopefully I won't have to, though.
Hopefully, but you never know. You never know.
I hope not. We're just going to put that out in the atmosphere.
I'm just going on record. So,
what happens if a black person kill you?
Well, then that's something else we got to discuss, but I'm just going on record.
I cannot. You're funny. A fucking comedian. That's funny. Y'all make sure y'all tell the club up for Trey in case some shit pop off.
Yeah. Fuck club. You know, I don't like clubs anyway.
Tell the city up. You're ignorant.
Oh, damn city. All right, so let's get deep. What's your 2 cents?
Okay, so mine's ain't no damn better. Well, okay, so I'm going to make light of this situation because this is what I do. I saw today a friend of mine speaking on a subject that is very near and dear to me. he was saying that there was a guy apparently hit a chick because she turned him down. And I, like, in off, like, on a, like, a direct message told him about my situation I just recently had. Like, I was literally walking down my street on a Thursday evening at midnight, two houses down from where I live. And across the street from my house is, like, a park. It's a basketball park. It has a basketball court and a little park for kids to play in. So I'm walking down the street, and I hear somebody whisper hollering my name. Like, Victoria! Victoria! So, again, mind you, it is midnight on a Thursday. Like, why? Just why? So I pretended like I did not hear this person, and I kept my same pace, and I walked into my home and locked the door behind me. And it didn't dawn on me until the next day what had happened, because I'm me. And I'm also, I've dealt with trauma before, so I kind of disassociate a lot. So I didn't realize what happened. And I was like, that was creepy. That was creepy. Very, 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 very creepy. And what frightened me, usually stuff like that doesn't bother me. No, I've never had that. That was extreme. Like, I can rationalize, like, I can make sense of this, but this time I had to go get protection, because I was concerned, because I had just, like, blocked this guy I was talking to, because he was, like, mad, disrespectful, and I kept telling him not to, like, contact me, but he kept contacting me, and it just triggered me seeing that on my timeline. And I'm like, why do men have to be so creepy? Like, I don't understand. I know rejection is very hard, and men have to deal with it at an astronomical rate comparative to women. I've been rejected, and I spoke about this on the podcast last year, like how I felt away from being rejected. At the same time, men, if a lady says no, no means no. That doesn't mean follow them home. That doesn't follow me in the dusk of the night, in the dark of the night, be calling their name. And the person didn't announce themselves. That's what made it even more creepy. They didn't, like, hey, this is me. I didn't get a text message, no calls. The next day, it's like, yo, that was me. And why are you acting like yada, yada, yada? Because I was ready to curse somebody out, because that was creepy. That was creepy. I still don't know who that person was, but just if they are listening, just know I stay strapped. Please don't get yourself killed out in these streets. And I'm not playing about that shit. Like, I put that on my mama. Yeah, I just don't understand why men are so creepy. Like, no means no. And women, I'm speaking to you guys too, because I can't control anybody else but myself. But I have an obligation as a leader in my profession and in my business aspect is to speak to women. Like, mean, say no and mean no. Don't be playing with these niggas out here, because I even had to reevaluate, like, because at first I was the same dude I had to block. I was like still contacting him allowing him to contact me because I'm trying to be cordial. Even though I told him I don't want to talk to him like that. And I still played the little game, like, oh yeah, sending little jokes and shit, because that's just who I am. But then I've realized that I can't even be nice to people no more, because motherfuckers is crazy. Because when after I blocked that number, blocked the fifth number with him, I realized, yeah, this is a level of crazy that I don't want to tap into. I'm just going to ignore these text messages and just keep it pushing. But after that happened, I was just like, yeah. So I posed the question again. Why are men so fucking creepy? It's creepy. If a woman does, like, you have to read body signals. If she's not interested, it's not because she's stuck up. And if she is, why the fuck would you want to deal with some shit? No, somebody like that. Like, I don't, my brain, I don't have enough brain cells to make that shit make sense to me. So that's my little rant for the day. Stop being creepy. Stop being creepy creepers. Like, that is really triggering. It's really triggering. Stop being creepy creepers. Creeper. Like, creepy. Fucking creeps. Okay. I digress. Carry on.
I honestly try not to be. And sometimes you even catch yourself and you're like, why did I do that?
I mean, I think it causes a whole mind shift. I wish I had to put my phone on do not disturb before I started this. But yeah, it caused a whole mind shift because the things that used to be okay are not okay anymore. Like, it's not okay to keep pressing. Like, I've had dudes approach me. I had even 2 weeks ago I went to brunch and the guy was like trying to send me a drink and I was like, no, thank you. So I told the waitress, no, thank you. The gentleman proceeds to walk by me and come to me and ask me why I didn't want a drink. I said, sir, I just don't want one. Like, I'm good. Thank you.
You ain't thirsty.
Like, right, trying to make me thirsty. I was like, well, if you try to pay for something, how would you pay for our lunch? Like, if you really want to pay for something, like, yeah. I'm not drinking anymore, but I damn sure just ate I got all this food here. You're more than welcome. No, I don't want to buy you nothing to eat. That costs more than your the drink. I know. Like, and you're like, I don't understand. Well, I can get you some water. No, sir, I don't want no water. Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. He can get you some
water.
He can get me some free water.
That's a quality dude right there. I don't even know why you ain't let him buy you a drink.
Oh my God. I cannot. I've had so many stories. It is triggering. I don't even, like, I have to talk to my therapist about this because this is, it's a lot. And I just don't understand.
I can imagine. I can't, but I would like to be able to.
I don't think you have to imagine. I think it's just be empathy. That's the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is you can relate because you experience it.
Yeah, I can't relate.
Empathy, I don't know. Empathy is knowing that you can't relate and just allowing space. Just like, that's fucking crazy.
Just, I can't relate. I can't relate. Bitches used to be all over me.
Okay. Unwanted, unwarranted, unnecessary.
I've had some unwarranted and unnecessary, yes.
Okay, so you can relate, but still. But
yeah, not on a regular like that. Plus,
and the fear. Know. It's the fear, though. I remember telling that same guy I was talking to, I had gave a dude my number in the club because he was like pressed up on me. And I even told dude I had a boyfriend. No, good and well, I ain't got no damn nigga. And he was like, and I gave him my number. He was like, well, I don't like that. And I'm like, bruh, it's either this dude is towering over me. I'm only 5'2". This is he's 6'2 plus, towering over me, drunk and pressing up on me. Did not take the fact that I did not want his number. Did I tell him I had a boyfriend and he still pressed on me, boy, get this fucking number and get out my face. You can text all motherfucking day, but I'm not answering the damn text.
Did you send me that meme where the guy was like, if you don't want to give a, when the guy's pressuring you for your number and you don't want to give it to him, give him mine. And then when I answer it, I'll say 15 years after the day she died.
Yes. But like I said, half the time the dudes don't even call because they drunk and don't even know what the fuck they doing. They just being belligerent and ignorant. It's just mind your business. I'm teaching my sons no means no, even on the smallest thing. And I'm teaching them, like, they have little cousins, little baby cousins. It's like, if the baby clearly doesn't want you to hold her or hold them, put the baby down. I need y'all to be able to pick up on social cues and body languages because this is what will make or break your ass in the future. In the future,
cause you a life, your life, your job, your reputation,
right? Because you, yes, in 2021, we still have these same conversations, and in South Carolina, in Columbia, that same friend was like, he had saw two different women on that IG lives talking about how dudes were following them home because until after, like, she was online trying to, like, get away from dudes and trying to tell him that she don't want to talk to him, and he was, like, following her. One was following her home, and the other was just following her, like, consistently pressuring her to get her number. Like, go where you're celebrated. Like, you deserve that, dude. You deserve to be celebrated in love and the love to be reciprocated. Not somebody obviously afraid of you and not interested. Women, stay safe. Stay strapped. Because I know motherfuckers come up to me, they were getting their head blown off. Take it right off their fucking shoulders. Like, I'm not playing no more. And now I digress again. Like, because that's my 2 cents.
Okay. Yeah, so basically burn it down and go where you celebrate it.
or get shot.
All right, let's get into the show, man.
All right, this is my show. I wanted to talk about, like, this is what I wanted to talk about instead of that, because I was going to make a whole show about it, have guests and everything, but I was like, I'm not about to do all that. Fuck those people. But I wanted to talk about greatness because I'm in a transitioning position. I don't know. I think you are as well. Like, we're in a space, a very unique space, where we kind of have the liberty to do things that we haven't done before. And I think it is worth the conversation to have to talk about greatness. So I wanted to know from you, what do you define as being great and successful?
Yo, this was like the hardest show to think about to start off.
You were wrong.
A lot of stuff that I would sit there and say is great, I had to think about, like, really on a grand scale of it all. Mm-hmm. So I think influence makes people great. Like, the ability to influence.
Mm.
Like I said, you know, Farrakhan had called Hitler great. He wasn't saying that he was valuable or genuine or good person. It's just the influence that he had. And I think you can be great by your voice, like your like I said, influence, your legacy, what you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that what makes a person great. Because you think about it, in sports and rap, you have your people who, they're as good as the people that you call great, but the all around doesn't equal
mm-hmm.
to that. Let's speak on, I say something about rap. When you can say, people say that, you know, Biggie is the GOAT, the greatest, but it's because of the impact that he had before he left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people have come out with more albums that's been platinum. You know, Biggie really only came out with 2 albums. So it's the impact that you have, I think, that makes you great.
Does greatness equal success, in your opinion?
I think it determines on what you consider success, though.
So what is success for you?
Success for me?
Yes.
Would be, my success would be leaving a legacy beyond me that basically is of smiling, of laughter, of mental health awareness, like anything that I can start and it trickles down.
Mm-hmm.
That's success. I know that things like that take money, but I don't feel like being, you know, a billionaire or anything like that would be successful to me, because I can't take money with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can only leave money to pass down, but I can leave a legacy to pass down by what I invested in, not just investing my money, but my time and my effort in. I feel like success to me is what you can do. How much can you leave in your legacy? Like, lasting.
So for you, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's like for you, it's more of a grander, like greatness and success is more of a grander ideal that trickles down. No?
Yeah, I think greatness can probably be measured by a man. Success to me would be the trickle down. Mm. That's okay. Like, I think, and I don't, because he's been a spotlight. We both love him, and you know, we always gave him love. But like DMX, we've seen his greatness. Because he hasn't been in the game for a while,
but he's as an artist, you mean?
Yeah, as an artist. But the Barclays is going to be packed for his funeral because of the people that he left. Mm-hmm. But could you really think of him as a success? Because he didn't.
He wasn't on Jay-Z.
He didn't do what Jay-Z. He didn't put other people on as much as he could have. Because he was facing his own problems. Mm. So to me, that would be where I would break it up. Is he was great, but as a success, as in trickle down, we have yet to see that. Not saying that he won't achieve it, but he got 10 kids and we don't know anybody. You know what I'm saying? We don't know the output that he's had yet.
I think that's interesting, a point that you made. Because like, For me, greatness is you doing your best. And I think greatness is, like you pointed out, like greatness is different. Greatness is different for everybody. For me, it's me doing my best. And in my flow of my best. Like Farrakhan, I remember when Trump was a president, I would like, let Trump be great. And people were like, that's not greatness. And I'm like, if this is the peak of his life, being the president of the United States, it's pretty great. Like, in my opinion, it might not be great. It might not be great for everybody else, but for Trump individually, that I think him coming from and I might get slack from this, and that's cool. Him coming from his background, I think even when like he was a fuck up, like, and him becoming president, even if it was rigged or what have you, I still think that it was a level of greatness. Like, I, again, I'm not saying that he was the best president. I know the stock market soared under him, and I was like, damn, I should have got in the stock market like 6 months earlier instead of now, because Biden's stock market is not that great. But nonetheless,
I found something out today about the stock market. I might have to tell you when we get off the podcast.
Yeah, I wish I had to actually start investing on a side note last year instead of now,
I think we both talked junk about, and if we would have invested last year, we would have been 40% richer.
Let me tell you. Yes. Yes, my eyes have been open.
His influence was great. Yeah, it might not have been the best and showed America in the best light, but he influenced so many people to where we really, really talked about racism.
Right.
Because racists were comfortable with showing their true colors.
I've always said, I like my racist. Like, I'd rather know that covert shit is not for me. Let me know where you lie. Draw the line in the motherfucking sand for me so I know where I stand, because that shit is not, that's not safe. It's not safe to have people covertly hate you, in my opinion. because I've been bitten by, I've been Jesus, and I had Judas sitting right there beside me. Like, I know how it feels to be like somebody pretending to be that for you, and they ain't. So I very much need people in my circle to be like, show me who you are, and I'm gonna actually believe them. And I don't think that's just my opinion. Like, I'm not saying, I think he was good for America because it forced us to start dealing with some shit. Because in order for us to transcend all of this, is we have to deal with the root. And if we don't deal with the root, then we're gonna keep doing what we've been doing. But I as far as him being successful, I think that success and greatness are different. For me, success is the opposite of what you think. I think it's the small, I still think it's personable. It's within the individual and small impact. Like, I think if the individual is successful, then it spurts out. It's inward out for me. Like, for success for me is me right now, and it has changed since for some other time, but for right now, success for me is making sure that I'm straight so everyone else around me is straight. That's where I'm at. I know, like, for me, I've also like dealt with fear of greatness. Marianne Williamson, the lady that went for the president, she ran for presidency. She has this fire ass quote in her book. I forget. I wish I had pulled it up, but the quote basically saying that we don't fear failure. Is we fear our greatness, and I can relate to it. I chopped and screwed her damn quote. It's a beautiful quote. I cannot recall it right now word for word. I used to have it on my desk at work and read it all the time. But I think I've definitely experienced fear of greatness, where I'm like afraid, I self-sabotage myself so I won't be successful, because then if I'm successful, then now I gotta deal with everything, the responsibility of being successful. Like, with great power comes great responsibility, and that responsibility is scary as fuck. What about you?
That's what I think. I feel the same way. It's like, you're scared to put in the work because you know that once it starts, you're gonna have to put the pedal to the metal. Like, I think a lot of us, we're scared of putting in the work. And that's stopping you from being great, because you know, if I succeed, it's like somebody opening a restaurant. I know if I succeed, I'm going to have to keep this open to maintain.
Right.
But if I open up this restaurant and it's just whatever, I don't have to do that in a year. If I figure I don't want to do it, I can just step out, because I'm losing money anyway. I have nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah. I'm dealing with that now as far as like being in a relationship also. Like, I've fallen all the way back. And if you go back to like just the transition of this podcast, where I've been like, I'm doing this and that, and now I'm like all the way back, I'm almost afraid of even being in a successful relationship, because I haven't experienced a healthy relationship, and that's the same for almost every aspect of my life right now. Like, I'm doing it scared. Trust, I'm doing it scared. But as far as like being scared, that fear is still, it's very much alive of being great. So like, even starting a business, you think like, okay, now I gotta get an LLC, I gotta get a bank account. I gotta get business licenses. I gotta have procedures in place. Like, I might need to get employees, and I gotta have an HR. Like, all this extra shit. Like, me putting myself on a schedule. Latrevious.
Hey, I'm not hating. I walked away from comedy a long time ago because I wasn't ready. I didn't want to work. I was starting to get a name. I was starting to get paid. And I was like, I don't love this. I didn't want to. Like, I've always said, the next time that I really, start to get to where that point, I'm getting me a manager. Because I was going in it blind. It's like, I don't want this. I can't do this. This is not what I want to be doing. Like, I love to entertain, but that business aspect is just something that's not where I want to be. Like, I don't want nobody telling me what my value is.
I think the reason why people want that are afraid of their greatness is because of the work. Like, it's hard work, and it takes discipline to be great.
Yeah, like, and I don't do 5 shows in a week. Shows like that, to me, that's work.
But then, though, if you do 5 shows out the week and that it compensates you, what if that overcompensates you for even the time that you're at work? Like, what if that's 5 times the amount of money that you make at somebody else's job? You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. Money ain't my driving goal.
But if you gotta work anyway, why not?
Because I've always wanted the stage to be, I don't want it to be work. I don't want me making people laugh to be work. Like, I really, that's a struggle that I face all the time.
I understand that. I do. Because that's the same thing as me starting the sacred temple, because I want to help people, but I don't want it to be like work. But at the exact same time, I know that in order for me to actually give my all and give what people deserve of me, I have to be disciplined. I when I was trying to schedule people in, when I didn't have a schedule, I was like, yo, when the fuck am I gonna have time to actually coach somebody? I barely had enough time to post in my group. I did everything, and believe me, I tried everything not to get on the schedule. I don't believe in time. Time is a white man thing. It ain't got nothing to do with me and my black self. It got nothing to do with me, but that was the only way I could that's the only way I could have been efficient in this capitalistic environment. It's only 2 choices. It's either you play the game or you don't. And when you don't, you get fucked. You get overexerted, you get tired, you don't have the time to do the things that you care about. So in my mind, in order for me to have time for what I need to do and what I want to do, I got to play the game, and I got to get on the fucking schedule. And the business aspect may seem like work, but me actually, the personable aspect of it is not. I love helping people. And I think people fear it because it takes work. I don't think you can separate it. Unless you wanted to make it a hobby, you just do it everything. But how can you be great if you're just making it you're not really putting your all into it?
I just think it's the fear of the work. Like I said, if it becomes a commitment once you become great. If you want to stay great.
Okay. I'll accept that. And the Marianne, I'm gonna call her Miriam. Marianne Williamson quote is, I looked it up while we was talking, is our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. That's like, it's a part of a whole quote, but that part is relative. So moving on, though, unless you have more to talk about on that.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm good. So on that.
How do you overcome the fear of being great?
I think you just gotta, it takes determination, dedication. You have to change your habits. Like you said, hobbies become work. You have to start saying, okay, if this is the goal that I want to reach, then I have to do this to get there. You're going to have to face that fear of having that on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't do that, though.
Yeah, no, everybody doesn't do it. And I'm usually thinking further about what you were saying. It's like it would come work, but if you're doing what you love, is that really work?
Everything that you, when you do the thing that you love, it takes work to get to that part to do what you love.
But there's I get that part. Like, I know, because I love my job now. Like, my job, I got a new job, and I love my job because I really like it. But I understand it still work. I'm tired. Like, the day I fell asleep doing training, like, I'm still tired, but I would rather be doing something I like and love than and being tired than doing something that I don't give a fuck about. Like, I don't know.
But I'm saying it takes, okay, think about an athlete. You love playing that sport in front of a crowd and everything else. You hate going to the gym and having to watch what you eat and going to practice, listen to the coach do this and talk about you didn't do this. You're a rapper. You love going in that booth. You love doing concerts. You hate doing interviews where they ask you about your personal life. You hate living in scrutiny. Like, a part of what you love is always going to have work in it, you know, to be successful.
But again, you can't separate. We all have to work. Like, that's what I'm
saying. People are going to have to know that your work is a part of it. Like, you're going to have to commit to whatever you want to be great at. You have to commit to every part of it.
What I'm saying, I get that part. What I'm saying, though, is even if you're not doing something that's great, like, if you're doing something that's mad mediocre, like, you still have to work. And that's why I it be blowing me, because I'm like, coach, I'm like, you gotta work. Like, this process doesn't go away because you want it, like, or you don't want it. You still, nobody's exempt from working.
I've seen a lot of people that are, but
I mean, hell yeah. I got some people I know right now that ain't putting us in the time clock and just living, but they still got to go hassle them people down for their daggone checks. The government down, they still got to sit on that damn that food stamp line for fucking 2 hours to get them damn stamps. Like, that still work. And I just choose not, like, I can't now, but I mean. It's still, I don't think you're exempt. And I think that you gotta choose your heart. Like, you really do. The process, it doesn't go away. And I think that if you don't work, then you and then you're immobile, you're likely to be dead. Like, you're dead inside or dead. You're just about to die, because I've seen people die and by not, like, they're not moving. Emotionally.
Well, maybe it's the fear of sacrificing.
Yes, I agree. Damn, my stomach making noises. Yeah, I agree. I think you overcome fear by running straight towards whatever you're scared of. and continuously doing it. Scared. Will Smith watching him, I remember on his 50th birthday when he jumped 50th birthday and he jumped out of the helicopter over the Grand Canyon. He made, like, watching him say, like, he does things. He's always wanted not to be afraid of anything. So whatever he's afraid of, he'll go do. And it clicked. Something clicked in my head. It was like, that's the equation right there. You just gotta do it. Like, even if you're scared, you just gotta do it. Let me stop saying. What qualities do you see in people that you perceive to be great?
Work ethic.
Discipline.
Yeah, no days off. Like, it's a different mindset.
Yes, they have to have an abundant mindset, and that's what I'm working on now. Because I still feel like I'm in a lacking mindset, like I don't have it. And that's a struggle. And that's been hindering me a lot in my business. You're right. Mindset has a lot to do with it. I don't know the numbers. I don't like, I be bullshit when I be hollering out percentage-wise. Like, that's 90%. I think men are very... I don't know if it's just men because they watch sports and stuff. They know to throw out a whole... a percentage with shit, like, oh, that's like 50%. That's just, I'm like, how do you know this? But
numbers are so definite.
Yeah, but mindset has a lot to do with it. And if you don't have that mindset, it's, I hate talking to defeatists. Like, the people that got problem for every solution you give, boy, that shit pissed me off. Like, what the fuck you talking to me for? You know who the fuck I am? Like, do you know who I am? I'm always going to look at the glass half full. And if I don't, you know something wrong. Like, that's just my nature. Why the fuck are you talking to me? That shit pisses me off. It takes me. I don't know. What else?
I don't think they have, they're scared.
You don't think that they're scared? I think they are scared. I think they just do it anyway.
Yeah, because you're talking about Trump, and I don't think he was scared. I think he was just stupid. That's what I'm saying.
I do think Trump was concerned every now and again. He wasn't all the time, but every now and again,
when that loud noise went off at that rally. But no, I think there's a certain level of bravery in it. Like, you can't be scared to be different. You can't be scared to take a chance. You can't be scared to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to know. Because nobody, you know, a kid in AAU doesn't know he's going to the NBA. But you have to have the mindset, like, that is it. Like, this is endgame. The percentage may be against you, but in order to be great, that's, you have to be, you got to go against that percent.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so that's part of it. And I don't want to say not scared, but I just feel like fearlessness is, like, you okay with what the outcome is. Like, you're not built for anything but the best, but if the outcome doesn't go, you're still okay with, like, I gave, like you said, being great is trying your best. Like, I gave it all. I gave every effort in my life to this, and I didn't do it. You can't say when I died, oh, he coulda, shoulda. Like, I did, and it just didn't turn out.
I think doing it is being actionable. And I don't know if I necessarily agree about being fearless, because I think they, like, great people are fearful. I think that they just have the initiative to continue on in spite of the fear. And I think that the mindset has a lot to do with it. Also think that they have to have a belief in themselves and their capabilities. Like, as they have to believe in themselves. Because I've heard people like they don't have any belief systems. And I'm like, well, you don't believe in yourself? Like, I just, like, how can you be great and not believe in yourself? I don't, or at least a higher power. I don't know. I don't know. I think those are good qualities from.
I think you can be like, I've never seen somebody who's achieved a lot to say, well, I didn't believe in myself.
Right. The person that said that to me, like, that was recent. And they were an entrepreneur. And it was like, well, if you don't believe in, because I even asked them, so you don't believe in yourself? And they was like, I don't believe nothing. And they said it matter of fact. And I was like,
yeah. You just got money to lose in.
Okay. Okay. That doesn't make sense to me, but I can dig it. Okay. Yeah, I can dig it. I can dig it, bro. Right on. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, courageousness, bravery, those are great qualities to have to be great. Do you think that everybody can be great?
Nah, you need somebody at home to be on the fries.
So. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Everybody cannot be. Wait, no, I can't agree and say that you're doing your best. Like, yeah, I think everybody could be great. I don't know if everybody could be successful.
So you're just great at what you do.
You're great at what you do. Correct. You are great at, if you're a great robber.
I say Golden Brown every time, all the time.
See?
You never had a burnt fry ever.
See? The greatest fry chef ever. McDonald's ever seen in the history of McDonald's. The golden motherfucking spatula. And the fucking greatest. I think that everybody can be great. I don't know if everybody can be successful.
But I think you can be great because you did. Like, I feel like it's some of those people that they did something at the right time. Like, they didn't change. They might not change who they are or whatever. But just it happened to the right person, whatever they did. And they get rewarded. Like, that's great. You stayed your course. You did something that you do every day. But somebody else gave you got your flowers.
Right.
Right. You're a great person, but you put your work in on a different level. You didn't have to have, you just needed the money to get by. So your name value wasn't what took you, but you got your recognition because what you do, what you commit to doing, you commit to being the best at.
Right. I agree, because if you, like, even with the scenario of DMX, I know I said I was gonna wait until they at least bury the man, but they take a long time to have his funeral. But he was a great rapper. I don't necessarily think he was a great father or a great husband. Especially now with Brenda, Leticia, Linda, Felicia, Dawn, and Michelle. Oh, right? I come on, Ma. You know I got a wife, and you name like 50 bitches in your song. You're not a great husband. Although he was a great rapper, I'm sure. I hate that I say, I just got a message, weird. I'm sure that his family, especially his sons, are dealing with a lot of baggage behind that. As I know I would, if something were to happen to my father,
because of the history. So I'm just, I think that you can be great at, if you're doing your best, if your best is the fry chef at McDonald's in your hometown, then be great. Like Snoop Dogg said, it doesn't matter if you're a fry chef, whatever you're doing, be great at it. So I think everybody can be great. It's just, I don't know if everybody is successful. And then it also depends on what you define as success. So, yeah. You got any more thoughts on that?
I just don't think people are going to be great because people have evil in them. They Carmen as a motherfucker. So I don't think I ever meet a great pedophile.
Yikes. Or a great rapist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wowzers. Yeah, I have no words for that.
My bad.
Last question. Have you reached your greatness?
Hell no.
You got more?
Yeah. You're my best friend, so you pretty much know. I just got back into poetry. So I kind of, like, I fell in love with it after comedy. And, like, I feel myself, like, falling back in love with it now. And I want to do more with it than before. It was, I just love to, you know, just go to a show and just grab a mic and whatever. But I feel like now, especially with talking with different people, just there's more in what I can do with it, especially that show that we both went to and we saw what the guy had in store for, like, the community and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is what drives me, like children, mental health, stuff like that. Knowing that I can affect that type of situation is what that will, I think that will make me great. I feel like I'm great at things, but not, I haven't reached my greatness, which is probably why I can't die right now. But yeah, I think I probably got a few more years before I reach that.
I feel like Drake. I think I'm gonna die before I get where I'm going. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. That is good to hear that you found a newfound love in poetry, because I love it. I've used it as a communication tool for years, and I just love it.
Poetry has me singing on stage. I have never sang at anything. I've been a rapper, comedian, actor. I've never sang. Poetry got me singing. So
got you singing. I ain't sang on the stage since, I don't even remember the last time I sang on the stage. But yeah, I love poetry. I love the wordplay. I love the double, triple, quadruple entendres. Like, I love it. I love when people try to interpret my poetry, and I be like, nah, that ain't it. But
no, I came up with something last night. I was like, I'm in the watch store trying to buy time. I was like, man, it's so much I could take this. So many places, right?
I love wordplay. That's why I love music and lyrics. And I love it. Like, I love it. So it's happy. I'm happy to know that you are back at it, because I love it. So I want to share it. My love of something with everybody. And I think that for me, as far as reaching my greatness, I've peaked in certain areas and certain levels. There are some levels, I think it's levels to everything. And I think that certain levels, I think I have just leveled up and reached my greatest in certain areas. So now I'm a new. I think now I am facing another. I'm the student yet again, and it's uncomfortable because I am a know-it-all. So I think like, okay, I've obviously reached a peak in the greatness in one aspect of my life. So
now that,
yes, a plateau insider joke.
That's a key word of the day.
Yeah, so I think I'm the student now. So I haven't, and on this level, I have not reached the level of greatness. Like, I've reached my level of greatness in toxicity and unhealthiness. I've been great in that. And now it's time to come full circle. And again, I think I'm gonna die before I get where I'm going type of thing. So I'm trying to give it all I can. And I don't try on anything. I just either do or don't. So yeah, I think any like last words about greatness that you want to, for anybody that's out there listening?
Like I said, I don't think grateful and success as far as monetary is something that equals it. Greatness doesn't equal money. Success doesn't equal money always. I think we need to look at ourselves and decide what our success, what we will consider a success at the end of the day, at the end of our lives. And I think being able to achieve that will make you great. If you feel as if you've done it, yeah, a part of that will make you great, because like we've spoken, you can be great without success. But I think reaching success, no matter on what scale, be it a grand scale, a local scale, a worldwide scale, you will be great.
Word. I would like to say, first of all, I gotta stop saying I would like to say that if I think that being great again for me equals doing your best. And if there's anybody out there that's listening to me, you are great and beautiful and whole as you are. You just have to show up as you are, not what the world tells you you should be, not what your past and your childhood experience molded you to be, as you should be. And that's how you reach greatness. And choosing to be great, because it is a choice that you have to make and you have to commit to, is hard. It is extremely hard. However, it is very much worth it.
And well, now I want to add some more words.
Oh, now you want to add some more? Go ahead, nigga. This your podcast. This your world, God.
No, finish yours up. I'm gonna kill it with the ending.
That was it. Like, I'm not even gonna elaborate. Like, yeah, it's hard work being great. It's hard work being yourself, because there's so many things that, especially being Black, and so many things that are saying that you shouldn't, that you should hide who you are, you should hide how you feel, you should not say and do things because it makes other people uncomfortable. Being great is being authentic and committing to being authentic. And again, knowing that it is not easy. It is very uncomfortable. It is very demanding. It is hard work. But if you show up and you show out, then it will all be worth it.
And like she said, don't matter where you come from, all of that stuff. Like, if it's you, do it. Like, be great, be successful in everything. If you want to get married to the girl that you fell in love with, ask your crush out. Do that shit. If you want to be a multi-platinum artist, try out for American Idol. If you want to be a Ninja Turtle, order pizza and kick people in the face. Whatever you want to be in life, just do that.
I feel that's out to my son, my baby, because he's been wanting to be Spider-Man for some time now. He's finally out of that stage, but he reverts every time Halloween comes back around.
But yeah, man, just be you, man. I think being you is probably going to be the best way to be great.
Great. Our hearts and minds are clear.
City going crazy. Top five, no debating. Top five.
All right.
So we're going to step into the top five.
Top five.
So what is the top five? What is it for this week?
Top fives is the GOATs. I had a whole funny, and I'm so corny. So I'm going to tell y'all my funny because I'm corny like that. But the top five is the greatest GOATs of all time. Get it? GOATS, greatest or GOATs of all time. GOATs meaning greatest of all time.
This is our idea for this show.
I'm so corny, but yeah, it's funny how I didn't even have a list, but I'm just gonna, this is gonna be top off dome. Who, you go first, because I'm gonna probably steal somebody off your list.
All mine are athletes. You got athletes?
All of yours are athletes?
Yes, because when it came to rap, I couldn't. That's a different show. I couldn't pick one person.
That was a different show, bruh. Okay, well, not. I don't think all of mine. Never mind. Go ahead. Have your way, sir. All
right. So you want me to do a whole list?
Have at it. Whatever floats your boat.
Okay. So my top five, like I said, is all sports. Like I have Tom Brady. He proved it this year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's the GOAT in football. He made a team that didn't do anything win the Super Bowl. He made people who didn't want to play for him. And to elevate a city, a team, coaching staff, just everything in 1 year when people doubted you, when you were past your peak, so to say. And beat the next young GOAT in training. I said it when I was watching Super Bowl, what's a kid to a GOAT? You know, that's basically what he was. He was a baby GOAT going up against Tom Brady.
A baby GOAT. I have no chill. Okay, go ahead, my bad.
It just, that, like, there's no...
Wait, do GOATs back? What's that sheep?
That sheep.
Oh, what did goats do? What did I say?
But my number two is actually inspired by Tom Brady, because we had this conversation with Pudgy on the basketball episode, where you know LeBron between LeBron and Jordan, and a lot of people consider Jordan a GOAT, basically because his team won every year he went to the finals, but then when he left, his team didn't. They made it to the finals, but they didn't win the big one. And when you think about that and what Tom Brady did, Jordan played for the Wizards. He didn't do nothing for them when he played for them. LeBron brought Cleveland their championship. He brought Miami a championship. They haven't won since he's left. He went to LA, got people to sign around him because they believed in him, and they won a championship. And they wasn't even in the playoffs the year before. Jordan did that with one team. LeBron did it with three. Not to mention the influence that he has on the Black community, inner city. Like, to me, that's GOAT shit. His, you can take basketball out of the equation, and he's done more for the Black community than Jordan did. So to me, that's why I consider him to be a GOAT.
Okay.
And my number three is, of course, you know I like wrestling. And a lot of people consider Ric Flair to be the GOAT because of the longevity of his career, the influence he's had on hip-hop culture, stuff like that. Like, if you know any, you don't have to know wrestling to know Ric Flair. Kind of like Hulk Hogan, they're synonymous.
Ric Flair, drip, go, who on the beat?
Exactly. But I put John Cena as my GOAT for wrestling simply because nobody... Exactly. Nobody, like, was on top of the industry for as long as he was.
Not even The Rock?
No, The Rock, he was like 2 years when he was a top star. He became a Hollywood star. Cena's crossing over, but to just wrestle for over 10 years and you be the top draw, the top guy who went out, you know, every night and gave these people. And the thing is, a lot of people say, you know, like I said, it's about your influence. You either love them or you hate them. Like, in wrestling, that's what it is. You have to get a reaction. And no matter where he went, he always got a reaction. But then also what he does with his Make-A-Wish Foundation, like, John Cena doesn't want a kid simply because he knows that the work that he puts in, he's not going to be the best father. Like, that is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, to say that I'm not going to have an offspring because I'm not going to be able to give them the type of time that I want to give every other child in this world. Like, that's crazy to me. So that's why he's a GOAT, because he's simply sacrificed. Ric Flair, he's been married 6 times. He got kids by different women. He didn't sacrifice a lot.
Right.
But that's why he's broke. But my number four was Ali. Simply because he was more honest to himself. Tyson's my favorite fighter to watch. But Tyson has a lot of stuff before he could. I think Tyson's more successful now than he ever was. I think he's more at peace. But I feel like Ali just, he had everything. He had the showmanship. He had the integrity. He had the skills to go with it. He epitomizes what GOAT is at your craft. And then my last one is Serena. I mean, the fact that I don't even have to say her last name. The girl did for the sport of tennis, what she did for Black women in sports, what she did for Black people in sports, what she did for people from
mothers in sports.
I mean, yes, she got a championship pregnant. Like, really?
Right. And then for her to lose her title because she got pregnant, that sparked a whole nother conversation to have.
Think about this. You have a sister who's older than you, who has been number one in the country.
I'm going to say just as good.
Yeah. better than that. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah, that's my top five. Like I said, mine was all sports. I can't pick one in hip-hop. Even though I have favorites, I just can't pick one to go. So I just didn't mess with that.
I don't know if I wanted to, like, go in detail about my list because I'm a little ignorant. But that's a great list. I agree with the Serena part and LeBron. Yeah. So my list is pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Obvious. So my list is really obvious.
I know somebody's on there. I told you she was going to be.
Yeah. I was back and forth with Beyonce and Jay-Z, but it was a toss-up. So Beyonce won.
Really?
Yes. And this is why. So actually I would put them as Jay-Yonce. So
Beyonce is like, there's no particular list, but they're on my list. No, like, who's the greatest GOAT of all time? Like, they're not, there's no who's the greatest on this. So there's no number one, five, whatever. So Beyonce, but Beyonce, because of when Beyonce perished, and I hope it's not, I hope Beyonce outlives me. Who says that, right? I do. But Beyonce, when she perishes, like, her impact, like, people be like, oh, Beyonce just not becoming on this whole woke black shit. But if you listen to her catalog, like, I've listened to her catalog extensively, and listening with the type of ear, the musical ear that I have, she's been on this shit for a minute now. You have to understand that Jay-Z has influenced her since Dangerously in Love, and that was her first solo album. Jay-Z has always been on some woke black shit, and even when he was in his Big Pimpin' days, he was still on some other shit, Sagittarius shit, you know. And Beyonce has, if for somebody, like, I didn't like Beyonce when it was coming, I was coming up with Destiny's Child. Kelly was my favorite, and it wasn't until Four, which is her fourth album, I was like, okay, let me take her ass a little serious. She has, like, worldwide, male or female, the impact that she has, regardless if you care to listen to her music or not, her name is always in somebody's mouth. Like, as far as entertainer and philanthropist, a lot, she has done a lot. And I know the amount of work that she has and the sacrifice, like, it's a lot. So, and as far as, I struggled because I was like, Beyonce came from a wealthy family. Her mom had $1 million business before she became Beyonce. Like you said, she don't need no last name. You could just say B, like Jay-Z say. Y'all know B. She ain't got no last name. It's Beyonce, nigga. Like, we know this. I think that her impact is phenomenal, even if you don't like her music. And if you don't like her music, like, that, you, I don't see why. Like, I don't see why. I don't understand. So no Beyonce slander on my pages, none of that. Because you will get told off. Like, it's just the people that always say they don't like Beyonce don't listen to her music. Because they're like, oh, she's overrated. She worked for it. Like, this ain't no Tekashi 6ix9ine just going trolling some motherfucking body and became famous. This bitch has worked her ass off since she was 9 years old. And now she in her late 30s, hitting 40s. Like, that's a grown ass motherfucking woman. Y'all better put some spec on her name. Like, Beyonce knows fucking, hold on, Beyonce Giselle knows Carter. Y'all better put some spec on her name. And her husband, I don't know why, I was like, Jay-Z, he took himself from Marcy Projects all the way to fucking a billionaire. Like, it's wild, the inspiration. And I know the whole thing, there shouldn't be billionaires, I get it, there shouldn't be billionaires, but at the same time, ain't a but. At the same time, if it's gonna be billionaires, let them be black too. I don't know. That's just my opinion. But Beyonce is on the list. Oprah is. I'm thinking about impact on my life. Oprah has introduced me to so much.
What is she a goat of, though?
Pardon?
What's she a goat of? Daytime television.
Entertainment. TV.
Okay.
Magazines. Old magazine is still selling like crazy. Why Essence?
Not the goal of magazines, though.
But I'm just saying, anything that Oprah has touched now, through you can't. Now hold on. We not. I didn't debate any of your damn.
I'm just saying, what is she the goat of? That's what I'm.
Media.
Okay, when that's all right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll get defensive. I got to work on that with my therapist, okay? My fault. I just felt triggered for a second. Forgive me, please. Please. I'm sorry.
I'm attacking Oprah. I'm attacking you.
Media. I think she's a go media. When you think about when Oprah attaches her name to any and everything, it is, you can't, it's gonna be big. I don't know why she sold old network at that low ass rate she did, but whatever, she don't need it anyway. So okay. But Oprah, as far as like growing up, like I said, the impact of seeing, like, she made me realize that mental health was it was normal. She made me like question the family dynamics I had and introduced me to so many different spiritual leaders that I had no knowledge of. When I think about her Sunday soul services, like that was church for me after I got out of Christianity, even because she was able, the impact is that she facilitated for other people to get on. You think about Rachel Ray, Dr. Phil, Yana Vincent, like all of these people that, even Gail, like all these people that came through her and their success, like that's greatness right there. If Stedman. You can put other people on, who?
Stedman.
Stedman, hell fucking yeah. And even when you talk about sacrifice, she knew that she didn't want to have children because of, she was like, she didn't want, the way she worked, she didn't want to have to, she couldn't give the life she wanted to an actual child. So that's why she
said, that's why John Cena, that same thing, is that sacrifice. Yeah.
She went and opened a school for all girls. And I know that we criticized because LeBron was able to open up a school. When Oprah opened up her school, nobody was like the red tape. Like there wasn't no way to do it. I don't think so. I think it would have been easier because Lil Jon even said that it's almost easy, and Akon said it's easier to do what you need to do in Africa than versus being here in the United States. It's not, back then, I'm pretty sure it was nearly impossible. Now, because of them setting the example, I think that it's easier as it should be. But Oprah, yeah, she's on my list. Who else I had on my list? Michael Jackson. Michael motherfucking Jackson. I don't know Michael's middle name, but Michael motherfucking Jackson is on my list. Do I have to say anything? Him and Beyonce both are Virgos, and their work ethic is zero to none. Like, there's nobody else other than Beyonce that can, I know, on that type of scale, be that impactful. Michael Jackson, my son don't know who fucking Jay-Z is, but he know who Michael Jackson is, and knows songs too. Like, that man was, ooh, talented. He was very talented. Who else? I had Beyonce, Oprah, Michael Jackson, my mama. My mama the GOAT just cause. And me, nigga. I'm the GOAT. I'm big dog over here.
Okay, now, so this show is sponsored by Tito's Vodka, apparently.
No, it's not. We don't drink vodka over here. Whiskey, tequila.
Handmade vodka.
Nah, big dog over here.
Okay, so I hope my mama ain't listening to this because you done gave your props to your mama. See?
Yep. Mama, yeah. I love you. Sure did. GOAT. My mama's the GOAT because she is, because that was my mama. And she raised a little baby goat. Mad or whatever the goat say. What the goat say, Dre? Nigga, what does goat say? Ask Google and Siri.
I say the wrong answer.
Siri. No, let me not say that. Hey Google, what does goat say? Google ain't telling me. What does the goat say? No, for real. What does goat say?
I am a goat.
That's what the goat say.
What do I say?
Meh. Hold on. Goats do say meh.
They said goat shriek. Alexa said goats to shriek like babies crying.
I can't. Oh my God. Oh my okay, God.
Man. Come on, man. Let's go to the spotlight. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, we were wilding the fuck out. Spotlight. Who's our spotlight this week?
Oh,
Cicely Tyson. Both of us had a senior moment.
Yo, and you came up with it.
Right? Oh my goodness. So Cicely Tyson is our spotlight of the week. Of this episode, Cicely was born on December 19, 1924. She just recently transitioned to an ancestor back in January on the 28th of this year. I didn't know until after she died that she was married to Miles Davis. I find that very fascinating. Did you know that?
No, but I can see a lot now.
Right?
No one would I know about my, I can see that.
Right? And after she died, I saw an interview she did with Gayle King, and she was like, that was the love of her life. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. She was an American actress and a fashion model. In a career, Wikipedia says,
think like people understand, like, she was old to us millennials. But she was bad back in the day, Bo.
Yes. I didn't know she was a model.
Yeah,
she spent more than 7 decades. She became known for her portrayal of a strong African-American woman. What am I reading? A woman. Tyson received 3 Primetime Emmy Awards, 4 Black Reel Awards, 1 Screen Actors Guild Award, 1 Tony Award, an honorary Academy Award, and a Peabody Award. She was born in Harlem, New York City. She just wrote an autobiography. Her notable work is Sonder in 1972, the autobiography of Miss Jane Pitney in 74, Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All, Diary of a Black Mad Woman, The Help.
Yeah, everything was Tyler Perry.
Yeah. He gave her flowers, though.
Yeah, he did that.
He did. How to Get Away with Murder. She has 1 child. She appeared in a minor film and television roles early in her career. She garnered widespread attention and critical acclaim for her performance as Rebecca Morgan in Sonder. She was nominated for both Academy Award and Golden Globe for her work in the film Tyson portrayal in the title role of 1974 television film, The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pitman, which is a book based on Ernest J. Gaines. It won her further praise among other accolades. The role also helped her win 2 Emmy Awards and was nominated for a BAFTA Award for Best Actress in a Leading Role. She continued to act on film and television. In 2011, she played the role of Constantine Jefferson in the award-winning recurring role of Ophelia Harkison in the TV drama TV series, How to Get Away with Murder, with Annalise, what's her name, Viola Davis. I didn't know all of that. I stopped watching that show. I don't know why. But yeah, she did a lot.
This is what I came up with when she passed. It's very rare that people who have a long history can get out of Hollywood with a clean record. And it's only her, Sydney Poitier, and Betty Wright who can really say that. Like, they didn't have any
tarnishes.
Yeah, like, there's nothing that you can go back and say, oh, he did this, but he did this, but she did this. Like, that is rare to be in the spotlight for that long, being a Black woman, staying true to who you are, and not having nothing that can somebody can sit there and throw dirt on your name. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Any final words?
You great, my nigga.
I know. I put myself on my list. You great too. You should have put yourself on your list. All right. We're gonna wrap this up. Y'all be safe out here. COVID still alive and real.
I got my first vaccine.
You got your vaccine. Your second one?
The first one. I won't have it by the next show, but I have the second one after the next two shows. I can tell y'all how it is. The first one wasn't that bad. It was like a flu shot. My arm was sore. And I had a little chills the next day, but that could have been something else. But I didn't have a fever or nothing. And I could see. I heard somebody couldn't see after they took their first dose. Something like that. Not somebody that I personally know, but everybody I personally know. They haven't had any side effects. My mom, my brother's girlfriend, yeah. So,
I know two people personally that kind of had a bad. Somebody had an extremely bad effect on it, but the other person, they got sick, but they are right now. I have not gotten my vaccine, and unless I gotta go somewhere abroad, I'm not sure if I'm gonna get it, because me getting COVID, I survived it, and I don't think it's necessary, but that's just my
unselfish reason. So
yeah, my family, the people that I am around, they got their vaccination, so I feel like if their vaccination works, then they should be fine. They should be fine. But yeah, have a lovely evening, daytime, wherever you ever listen to this. Love you guys. Peace. Be great. Be great.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.